Good afternoon. Welcome once again to KMRY's Newsmakers, a weekly program highlighting the people of our communities and the issues they face. I'm Chris Jensen, proud to serve as your host each week. Today, our guest is mayoral candidate Tiffany O'Donnell. I begin my conversation asking the Women's Lead Change CEO and longtime news anchor what else she would like voters to know about her and her background.
No, thank you for asking, because it is interesting being on television in Channel 2 for 15 plus years. I'm kind of just the gal in the box, you know. Now people will see me and they'll be like, do you work at Hy-Vee? Like, how do I know you? Somewhere. I'm from the box. But I think it's important that people, especially now that I'm running for mayor, you know who I am as an individual, as a person. It gives context to why I'm so passionate about this. I'm actually the granddaughter of immigrants. My grandparents immigrated from Sicily.
Really?
DiBernardo is my maiden name. Oh, yeah. So immigrated from Sicily and landed on the south side of Chicago. So that's, I mean, literally the south side. My mom and dad went to Hirsch and Harper High School. And that's, they met when my mom was 14 at a roller rink. We always say, thank God for the roller rink. But my dad was the one family member who moved away. And he was a traveling salesman. And Iowa was his territory. So luckily for us, I was, you know, 5 years old when we moved to Bettendorf,
okay,
in the Quad Cities. And dad would leave Monday, come home Friday. And my mom worked at John Deere Parts Distribution Center.
Okay.
Yeah, which was, I always say, you know, John Deere put me through college. You know, my parents worked so hard. And neither one had the opportunity to go to college, but they were, you know, just absolutely, you know, insistent that we did that. And so grateful for that. Fast forward to today, after, you know, living in a couple other places, landed back in Cedar Rapids in 2001. My husband, fifth generation Cedar Rapidian. So we were happy to come back home. And my sister's here. My parents have been here now for 10 years. My brother still lives in Chicago, but we happily raised our two girls here in the public school system where my husband was raised. So we had Erskine McKinley Wash girls. And I mention them because they really are, you know, among the top reasons I'm running for mayor. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, we hope that our kids want to come back or that our kids want to stay in Cedar Rapids when they're done with school. And I started noticing that kids weren't doing that. Kids weren't doing that. And what was different is their parents, my friends, were now following them. And I just couldn't stand by and watch it. And I just couldn't watch it. I didn't like what I was seeing. I'd felt in 2008 post flood, we had some real momentum. And I feel like we've been running in place over the last several years. And I looked around and thought, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And I thought, you know, it's going to be me. Everything I've done in my life, I feel like has led me to this spot. Certainly my work at Channel 2 and my relationship with viewers. You can probably relate to that a little bit with radio, but you know, I was always looking out for viewers.
Sure.
That was my job, to understand our city and the, you know, the unique elements of it and the people. And I always felt a real advocacy for that. And so this really just, I mean, takes that to the next level. And then add to my work as a CEO of an organization for the last 6 years, Women Lead Change, has been such a privilege to grow that organization. Celebrating 15 years, by the way, next year. But you know, as a business person, as a CEO, growing that from a, you know, $1.2 million organization to now a nearly $3 million. And with offices in Des Moines and the Quad Cities and our work to advance women leaders, now seen globally through our global partners. So those two experiences combined with, you know, the nonpartisan nature of this position, which is really a solutions-based government, you know, I'm not beholden to any party, we can really get stuff done. So I feel like I can, maybe I'm naive, but I feel like I can make a difference.
So do you feel like current council does lean partisan right now at all?
You know, I have to say, I have been really impressed with our current council leaving their politics at the door, because we're all politically active. I mean, everyone on the council, you know, certainly follows politics, which is why I think it's been even more remarkable to see how well they do work together. This council, and I've spoken with all of them individually. I know them all. You're in a town for 20 years and you're in the news, you know, you're going to know these people.
It's still a small town.
It's still a very small town. And I've just been consistently impressed with how well they work together, despite their political party, which is honestly how we're set to work.
Right.
That's how this government is set to work. So the nonpartisan nature of this, I always say it's the party of Cedar Rapids. It's Cedar Rapids first.
Yes.
Cedar Rapids first. Potholes don't have parties, Chris. Potholes don't
they do
have
not
parties.
Have parties.
They don't. So I'm really anxious to focus on the work that affects all of us here. here.
So when you're out on the campaign trail, what do you hear from voters? What's their top concerns?
Probably not going to surprise you, but I hear a lot about streets.
Oh, yes.
I hear a lot about streets. Mm-hmm. I certainly hear about derecho recovery, right, because while so many of us have been able to move on, there are plenty of us who haven't. You know, whether it's, you know, scars that we have to look at on our house or the trees in our yards, it's fighting with FEMA. I've talked to people who still are dealing with FEMA, and even more people who, you know, feel fortunate to have insurance, but now are battling with insurance companies. So we are still in the derecho recovery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really, one of my missions is to really speed that up so we can move forward. So I hear about that. And I also hear about public safety. Okay. And give us something to do. You know, we sit in Cedar Rapids and we watch, you know, water parks go up in Waterloo. We watch, you know, our cities around us all adding amenities. And, you know, I actually heard someone say to me the other day, you need to go to Manchester because they have this really cool kayaking.
They do.
What?
Yes.
Okay. So now I gotta compete with Manchester. So I think people in Cedar Rapids are ready to have, you know, something for them too.
Sure.
Families as well as, you know, adult entertainment around.
I think you were the first to endorse a casino coming here.
For sure. Yes. For sure. Yeah. I endorsed it because I want to make sure that if the gaming referendum passes, you know, that's the first step. And then the gaming commission needs to give us, grant us that license. It needs to be downtown or near downtown.
Absolutely.
Because our downtown is just, you know, any successful city has a vibrant core, and our downtown needs work. I talk a lot about that on the campaign trail as well. In addition to that, though, Chris, one of the things I've advocated for publicly too, you know, should we be able to get this license, the nonprofit needs to give back to the community. And in the past, it was a 3% that they needed to give back to our nonprofits. I've advocated to the casino to give back 5%. I've said that publicly.
Yes.
I'm hoping they were listening, because 5% back to our nonprofits, you know, following the last year or two that we've had, would be a real game changer.
So what are your priorities as mayor?
You know, I think it's really important that we do address the issues that affect us every day. And those are things like streets. It's flood protection, because the flood will happen again. So how do we make sure that it's, you know, takes us less than 13 years for protection on both sides? I think we really need to talk about jobs and opportunities here too. I mean, I just was at stopped at a coffee shop this morning, and there was a sign up that said, you know, closed due to staff shortage. I talked to a business here in town that had to turn down a $3 million deal because they didn't have the staff. So we've got to find a way to upskill and prepare the people who are here, retain the people who are here, and help them be successful in the jobs that we have here while we retain the companies who are here. You look at our best companies, and most of them started here. So how do we make sure that we're wrapping our arms around those companies and saying, are we a part of your 30-year, 50-year plan? Because we want to be.
Right.
You know, we don't want another Toyota. We don't want another, you know, we're one press release away from a really great company leaving. So I want to make sure that, you know, as mayor, these are relationships that we cultivate, and we make sure they feel valued. And then we need to recruit smartly companies too that align with who we are and the work that we do here, while we recruit people to come here, which leads into one other thing, my final priority I'll talk to you about, and that really is, you know, I say drive and thrive. That's that quality of life that I talked about, a really strong city center, you know, a really vibrant city that has housing downtown as well as businesses and shops and restaurants. And how about that river? We have this incredible resource that runs right through us, and we turn our back on it, frankly. You know, it's always surprised me. Let's leverage that river, and not just for recreation on it, but let's have things, you know, alongside each one of it on the riverfront that we can enjoy the river and be on the river. So these are high level priorities. I also think, you know, overall, we need to make sure we're bringing our community together.
Okay.
You know, reminding us. And we do that, I believe, through strengthening our neighborhoods. We have incredibly diverse, unique neighborhoods in our quadrants, and they're all so different, and we need to keep it that way. Ideally, you know, we make them all self-sustaining, everything you need within 15 minutes, kind of everything old is new again.
Sure.
Where you've got your grocery, you've got a pizza place, and maybe an ice cream shop, and these neighborhoods then hold people accountable. That's how we unite. I had somebody say to me the other day, how are you going to bring people together? And I looked at him and said, how are you going to bring people together? Because a city can only do so much. It's relationships. It's one-to-one. And I believe our neighborhoods are the key to that. neighbor to neighbor, one-to-one. That's how it starts. We hold each other accountable. We set high expectations. And the city steps in to say, how can we support you? You know, even a neighborhood association, how can we support you and help you be successful and have things for your young people to do, for example, in some of our communities? Yeah. So really, you know, my job as mayor is to lead that charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, as somebody who does live downtown, that urban kind of urban lifestyle, there are things that I would like to see. I would love to see some place to shop downtown for groceries or, you know, there's more restaurants coming up. So I like that idea of just developing, getting that in here. Not just, we want to be urban, but we're kind of urban, but really, you know, and you mentioned keeping young people.
People here. And honestly, Kristen, our bike trails, our recreation, this matters.
Mm-hmm.
This matters.
It does.
The neighborhoods that I talk about, everything walkable, bikeable, this matters to the next generation of worker, especially as we talk about the opportunity to maybe have people who live in Cedar Rapids that work in bigger cities, that take advantage of our quality of life and the affordability that we have here, you know, while working in a larger city. Yep. It's a real opportunity for us.
The amount of people I see on the scooters or the bikes downtown, they're all young people constantly. So I'm like, we need more of that to keep them here, to keep them entertained, keep them thinking that Cedar Rapids is an old city that won't change their ways. So
I agree. And I think that's the other thing. When you talk about what makes me different as a mayor, the ability to tell that story. Because like you said, we have some really great things happening here.
We do. Yeah.
We just, people don't know about it. We need a mayor who's going to be out front telling that story, not just in Cedar Rapids, but elsewhere. I look at how we're represented at our capital in Des Moines. I mean, we don't even have anybody from Cedar Rapids on the Department of the DOT Commission, which we need to be represented in these ways.
We're the second largest city. Yes, absolutely.
The second largest city in the state. We need to remind people of that. And we need a mayor who's going to insist that they don't forget it. And that's, again, in my skill set. Out there talking, communicating with people. I have a relationship with this community, and I care deeply about it. It's the only reason I'm running.
Okay. Now, in Cedar Rapids, of course, we have a city manager and a mayor. How do you see your relationship with the city manager?
It's key, and we are so fortunate in our town. I always say Mayor Corbett's, you know, one of his best legacies will be hiring Jeff Pomerantz. I think he's done incredible work for our city. He's very good at his job, and he's extended that inside City Hall, and he has, you know, very good directors as well. I think, you know, he's even better, and our city staff's even better when a mayor and a council is really engaged in the work too, you know, guiding the policy. So it's pivotal. I mean, our city manager and staff get the work done. Our council and our mayor guide the policy. The mayor does have unique powers in Cedar Rapids, though, as it relates to economic development. And again, when you talk about the work that I've been doing, you know, inside our largest companies over the last 6 years, I've been focused on workforce development through a gender lens, have managed to have some really incredible relationships and feel like I have my finger on the pulse of who we are as a state and as a city, who we are as it relates to what we do well and what we could leverage for economic development. So I would look to play, you know, an even bigger role with that as mayor than we've seen in the past.
Okay. So you've kind of talked about this the whole time, but you're a voter and you're in the booth on November 2nd and you're still undecided. Why vote for you? Why Tiffany?
You know, most vote for me because you know me.
Okay.
I mean, you know me. I'm an Iowan. You know me from Channel 2. You know me from my work in the community for the last 20 years. You know, I always say, if you want to know what I'm going to do over the next four, look at what I've done over the last 20. I have a real love for this community, and that's literally the only reason I'm doing this. I feel that my skill set, my ability to communicate, tell a story, leadership is something I feel we've been lacking. As a leader, you know, I've proven myself over the last 6 years growing a team and an organization. I'm just passionate about what we can do. We can do better. And I'm the one I believe that can tell that story the best, and I'm ready to get to work.
Well, I really appreciate your time today, Tiffany. I know you're very busy and you've got a lot
of stuff
going on. So coming in and sitting and talking to us and kind of give us your vision for the city is greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Cedar Rapids mayoral candidate, Tiffany O'Donnell. A copy of this interview will soon be made available online at KMRYradio.com. This has been a presentation of Locally Owned, Locally Involved, KMRY Cedar Rapids. We'll see you again next week.